And as we've heard this morning, people testifying of your goodness, we glorify you, Father, for leading us in our lives, whether they be long or short. Lord, you are faithful. And this morning, we just want to worship and honor you for that. We want to come under your leadership, submit to you, Father, and just hear the word. And I just pray anointing on Mike. May he preach. May he be able to articulate his thoughts, and may the church be edified. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service. I didn't say anything this morning. There's a lot of things I'm thankful for. And I guess I'm thankful, for one, that we're all so different. For example, Trent mentioned he's thankful to be in his tree stand. I think I'd be thankful when it was time to come down because I'd be cold and wet and everything else. But I like watching deer and squirrels and leaves falling from my bike. So we're all different. And, you know, in the church or in life in general, you know, I look around so many times and I see people that I'm doing things with, and I realize how I'm this and they're this, and together we actually are a great team. If it was just me, it wouldn't work. If it was just them, you know, maybe there's one or two things that I add. And I really like to see that. And I'm thankful God has done that. So I was, when Ray asked me to preach earlier, recently, my thoughts went to something that I've had in my mind for a message, and it also went to Thanksgiving, and I wasn't sure. And then when Chris sent the message out that he's going to do something with Thanksgiving, I said, okay, well, that's the sign that I'm supposed to do the other thing. And after working on the other topic for a while, it didn't click, and I felt like I'm supposed to still talk about Thanksgiving. So here we go. I hope you weren't done. So as I thought about Thanksgiving, I really wonder if our culture today has changed our appreciation for Thanksgiving. And maybe it's changed our realization of the gifts God's given us. For example, Daryl mentioned the farmers, and I think of farmers at Thanksgiving time, but I think back, you know, in a couple generations, even to your grandparents or your great-grandparents, where the crop of wheat really meant if they were going to have any disposable income or not. And so they had milk where they, you know, took into the house and drank milk and made butter, and they maybe butchered one or two of their cattle on butchering day. But really, if they wanted money for new shoes, that probably came from the wheat crop. So can you imagine all summer long, or in the spring, you're planting the wheat, and is it raining or isn't it raining? Because that wheat crop depends on, am I going to have disposable income for the winter? Are we going to be able to buy a new coat for little Johnny? And all summer long, you watch the wheat grow, you carefully pull the weeds, and there's a big thunderstorm, and you're just hoping that there's no hail to take the wheat out, and so on. And you get to harvest, and it's a good crop. You gather it in, you thrash it, and you put it in bags and take it to the train station or wherever the wheat went, to the flour mill, I guess, and you get paid. And I think then you'd be very thankful that, yes, now I have money for the winter, I can maybe make a mortgage payment. And for us today, I get paid every 2 weeks. And in my farm, in my barn, I get paid every month. So I don't have that once a year paycheck. And I think someone with a once-a-year paycheck will have a different perspective on Thanksgiving. And so I really wonder, just take your mind back to, you know, that paycheck every 2 weeks or however often you get it is a gift from God. But just let your mind go back and realize how much we owe God. Sometimes we just think it comes and it just happens. And yes, thank you for the good dinner, and we run on. But that's not true at all. So I was thinking about the Thanksgiving and the holiday, and go back to the first Thanksgiving. It's a familiar story. The pilgrims got on the Mayflower, came over to America, and they had a very tough time. A number of them died on the ship. They got here, and the things that they brought maybe weren't the right things. They really struggled that first winter, and life was incredibly difficult. I think the Indians ended up giving them some food and helping them, and then the Indians also helped them the next year to plant their crop and just taught them so many things about life in the New World. And at the end of the next fall, after the harvest was gathered, the settlers, the pilgrims, had a meal, and they invited everyone there to share. It was a bountiful crop. And you think about that, and you would think, so that group of pilgrims that started off, there was around 100 that went on to the Mayflower, and I think there was around 60 at the first Thanksgiving dinner. And I'm assuming there was a couple babies born in that time. So almost half of the people had died. They had struggled, they had fought, they had, you know, how on earth did they make it through? And at the end, a year later, they were thanking God and they were feeling blessed. I, at this time of year, every year, I think about Martin Rinkert, who was a pastor in Germany in the early 1600s, around the time that the pilgrims came, I believe. And the 30 Years' War was on, and his town was right in the middle of it. There was also a famine, and there was a plague. And Martin Rinkert, there was four pastors in the town, and the three other pastors died in the plague. And so there was a time when he was the only pastor in the town, and people were dying. There was up to, I think the max was 50 funerals in a day. There was around, I think, 4,000 people that died in 1 year, including Martin Rinkert's wife. So he had funerals upon funerals from this plague and from the famine. It was a dreadful time. And sometime in this period, he wrote the old hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. I wonder what he was talking about. Oh, may this bounteous God, wrote Martin Rinkert, through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us and keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. And I think that one, if you read his story, that verse actually really resonates. And I think there was a lot of things that he was thinking about when he wrote that. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns, with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. So Martin Rinkert was, you know, had an incredibly difficult life, an incredibly difficult time, and he was able to write that hymn. Read the words and actually memorize the words, think about them a lot. Another group of people that I think about that Kevin, I think, mentioned this morning, the Russian Mennonites, you know, if we go back a number of generations, most of our forefathers have had very different situations than what we have, and they've been very difficult. And when I think about the song, Now Thank We All Our God, I always think about the Russian Mennonites. It was written in, the song was German, and so of course they would have, you know, had it, and they would have sang German songs. And there's a story that I was trying to find and couldn't, of when they were, I believe, escaping Russia, unless it was when they were going to Russia, I can't remember, but there's a tree in the Ukraine called the Mennonite Oak Tree. It's when they came to Russia. That's still there, and I actually saw it. But when the Mennonites went to Russia, they, at least the one, there was a number of groups that went, but there was one group that went that had a very tough time, and again, I don't remember all the details, maybe someone else knows it. But when they got to this old oak tree, which is still there today, legend has it, they all gathered under there and sang, Now Thank We All Our God, and it was similar to the pilgrims, where only half of them were there, and you know, they had a tough time. It was the winter, I believe, and they were able to sing that song. And I did read that song was sort of a freedom song for Mennonites escaping Russia, that after World War I and II, when they were persecuted and so many of them were killed because they were German, when they would get out of Russia, they would sing that song, Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, even though three quarters of my family has been killed. And what a testimony. And so my thought is that, you know, sometimes we think that the more we have, the more we should be thankful for, and that's true. However, in the cases we've talked about, the people that did these incredible things and wrote these things, they had, as we would view it, they have very little to be thankful for. Everything was against them, and yes, they escaped with their life. You know, but yet they seem to be the ones that are a lot more thankful than me. So I think I'm thankful for all the blessings that God's given me. I'm thankful for all the blessings that God has given us, and I don't want to lose any of them. But I feel it's important that I pay special attention and make extra effort to realize the gifts that we've been given, because so many people, we are so unique. You know, from now back to creation, there's few people that have been blessed like we have. Another area of my mind went, and actually the title of the message is The Sacrifice of Thanksgiving. So when we realize what we have been given, our hearts should well up in thankfulness. That's a no-brainer. If we really realize what we've been given, you know, we can't help but be thankful. When we realize where we would be without God's grace and favor, again, our hearts should fill with thankfulness. If you stop and think, like Kevin was saying this morning, you know, he could be back in the Ukraine. He could be, you know, fighting. He could be He could be right in the middle. He could be, you know, and he's not. And he was thankful. Well, you know, all of us could be somewhere in a completely different situation than here. And when we think about what God has, where God has brought us, excuse me. If I could have a drink of water, that'd be great. I'm really getting dry. Anyhow, that got dry on me very fast. I didn't know I was talking so much. Sorry about that. So when I think about Thanksgiving, I believe that Thanksgiving commands a response. We can't just say thank you and that's it. That's not a response. That's lip service. Thanksgiving commands a response. There is a cost or a sacrifice to genuine Thanksgiving. This happened already back in the Old Testament. There was an offering called the thank offering or the Thanksgiving offering, and it was voluntary. And Leviticus 7 verse 12 says, if he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering unleavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. So in the Old Testament law, if you had a good crop of wheat, if you were really blessed, if you were thankful for your family, if... Thanks, Abe. Whatever that... whatever it was that... You know, some of the things that were talked about this morning, I'm thankful for this. Maybe your thankfulness would have driven you to do this offering of the meal and offer it to the Lord and say, God, I thank you. Here's my offering. So that was an Old Testament principle, and we read about it different times in the Old Testament. There's a number of verses in the Bible that talk about the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'm going to read a few of them. Psalm 107, verse 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 116, 17, I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 50, 23, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. The one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. Jonah, when Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he said this in Jonah 2:9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray that I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. That was interesting to me. Jonah, in the belly of the whale, said, I will, to God, he promised God, I will give you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. In the New Testament, Hebrews 13, verse 15, by him, or through him, through God, therefore, let us, or through Jesus, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So if we look at those verses, The last number of verses that I read talked about the sacrifice of praise as being something that comes out of our mouth. The first verse we read talked about the meal offering, the cake and whatever all it was. The other verses talk about the words coming out of our mouth. So, what do you think the sacrifice of praise looks like? What does it look like in your life? Was what we did this morning, was that the sacrifice of praise? It could be, but it isn't necessarily. So I think the sacrifice of praise comes out of our mouth, but first of all, it's put there from our heart. It's something that is in our heart. What I had to think about was there's times when we traditionally say thank you. And maybe it's, if you go away from the table and don't say thank you for the dinner or thank you for the good supper, at our house, our boys were trained to do that. I don't know if they always do. But that can be habitual. Push your plate back, thank you for the meal, and you run on. Well, is that from the heart? Should be. But you know what I mean. It can be habitual. It's habit. Yes, we do that when we're done the meal, and off we go. Well, that's not the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise comes from our heart to our mouth, and then it's expressed. Our life, if we're truly thankful for that sacrifice of praise to be effective, it comes from, it's evident in our life. We are, in some ways, our mouth doesn't even have to say it because it's evident in our life. So how, excuse me, how can we offer the sacrifice of praise that clearly God is looking for? And I think these are good things to think about at Thanksgiving time. How can we, in 2024, offer the sacrifice of praise? And I don't know if I thought about passing the mic around, and I'm not sure yet if I don't think we're going to do that. But think about that. How can you offer the sacrifice of praise? Well, think about the meal. And think about saying thank you for the meal. So if you're truly thankful for the meal, will that command any more response than thank you for the meal? I don't know if you follow what I'm saying. But if you're truly thankful for the meal and for the hands that have prepared it when we're thanking God for the food, do you think maybe you'll help with the dishes? Would that be a bit of a sacrifice? Maybe. Maybe it's your turn to do the chores, and so maybe you have off dishes. But that's sort of what I'm saying. If you're truly thankful for the meal, you're willing to sacrifice something of yourself, maybe a bit of couch time, and express your thanks that way. And that concept is all through life. It's not just dishes time. Our physical lives, our spiritual lives, if we're thankful, we're going to do something. So how else can we offer the sacrifice of praise? Well, we can praise God from our heart, whether that's worship at church, whether that's, feelings of thoughtfulness and thankfulness when we're looking down from the tree stand, no matter what it is, those times when we look around and we realize that's so beautiful, thank you, God, and it comes from our heart as a sacrifice of praise. I think praising God from our heart, again, we'll go right back. It's an expression of our lives. Psalm 107, I think it's four or five times that there's the same verse, about every eight verses is repeated. Psalm 107, verse 8, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Praise God from the heart. Another sacrifice that we can give is to have a thankful attitude and express thanks. Don't let people hear, how do I say this? Don't be known as the negative person in the group or at work or at church or whatever it is. Don't do that. That's so far from what God wants us to do and from expressing the sacrifice of praise. Serve others is another way. You know, God has given us so much, and just be willing to serve others. I heard that there's church cleaning coming up. I don't like church cleaning. I'll be right up front. I don't enjoy church cleaning. But you know what? That's part of it. That's maybe a sacrifice that I'll have to make. And I'm sure there's very few here that actually enjoy church cleaning. Well, that's a sacrifice. Serving others. Another way, again, we're talking physical things. A lot of people think about giving over Thanksgiving. And is that not fitting? You know, when we think about all that we have received to share of our finances, share of our time. It's a very fitting time to give and to remember that. That's a sacrifice, something that's more than lip service, that's actually doing something. So this another part of the sacrifice of praise, I believe, is to serve God. You know, yes, God, thank you. Now I'm going to live for you. I'm going to give my whole life to you. Different of the verses that we read about the sacrifice of praise talks about paying my vows. So, you know, maybe you made some promises at baptism time. Well, keep them. Maybe you made some promises to your wife. Keep them. Maybe you promise God you're going to live for him for the rest of your life. Well, do it. Pay your vows. Give up yourselves and your own ideas, desires, and put God's first. Other of the verses talk about taking the cup of salvation. You know, if God has given us so much, let's thank him for it, but then let's use it. That's exactly what he wants. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So no more cake of meal, little cake that we offer God. No more burnt offering, but instead you give him yourself, which is your reasonable service. It only makes sense. It's not a big gift or anything. It's only logic. God's given you everything. He's provided you with everything you have. He's actually saved you, so you give your life back to him. I'm going to read the verses from Psalm 116. Starting at verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. I pray that this day, tomorrow, this season, and the next year would be times when we can reflect on God's goodness and when we can effectively offer God the sacrifice of praise. May God bless you all. To the sound booth, there is a song, Now Thank We All Our God, I hope you're not surprised, that I'd like you to play. Think about Martin Rinkert and think about so many, even today, that are going through difficult times that we can't even imagine. And just again, bless God for what he's done for us and pray and be willing to share with others that are not so fortunate. May God bless you.